but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Notice that phrase, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The question I would like to ask tonight in this church is, what will we do with the vision? That's what I'm interested in. We can read about what Paul did, and I will preach about what Paul did. But what I really want to know is, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? What am I going to do with the vision? Amen. That's an interesting, awesome question tonight. You may be seated. Somebody define the vision as a dream with your eyes wide open. A vision is an image of your future. The scripture said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is vital to the health of the church. We must have a vision. It is absolutely necessary. Now let me go on to say tonight that everybody does have a vision. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, you have a vision. You have a vision for this church. Amen. You may have a negative vision, or you may have a positive vision, but you have a vision tonight for this church. You have a vision for your part in this church. You have a vision for what you are going to do in this church. You have a vision for what you will do for God. All of us tonight do have a vision. A vision is very important. Our vision is affected by our environment. Your vision is affected by what you read. Your vision is affected by what you see. Your vision is affected by what you hear. Your vision is affected by all of your environment. Your vision is affected by whom you associate with. Your vision is affected by whom you associate with. Birds of a feather flock together. Visionaries love visionaries. Bitter spirits love bitter spirits. Negative people love negative people. Positive people love positive people. Your vision is affected by whom you share time with. Amen. Your vision is affected by what you talk about. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. Praise the Lord. Is this a Pentecostal church that I've stumbled into here tonight? Amen. Or have we lost the Pentecostalism? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. I read a story about some men that went into a land to spy it out. And they came back with a report. And 10 of the men that went on the journey said in total agreement, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a place that anybody would want to live. It's a literal paradise on earth. They said, but we saw giants over there, and we were grasshoppers in their sight. And in our own sight also, And they brought up an evil report of the land. But there were two other men that said, wait a minute, let me give you a news flash here. God has given us this country. God brought us to this place. Amen. And God is going to give it into our hands. Hey, who are you listening to tonight? Who are you listening to tonight? Has God ever promised He was going to do something for you? Has God ever promised He was going to do something for this church? Has God changed His mind? Has God given up? Has God turned away? Has God turned His back? Have you lost your vision? Amen. What are we going to do with the vision tonight? Amen. Who are we going to listen to tonight? Who are we going to put our faith in tonight? Who are you going to count on tonight? If God said it, God will deliver. How many believe that tonight? What did the Scripture say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Your associates tonight have a lot to do with how you view revival. How you view your own Christian life. How you view the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be around negativism. I don't want to be around naysayers. I don't want to be around poison spirits. Amen. I don't want to be around negativism. Amen. I believe God made promises to the church. Amen. I believe God's going to keep His word. I believe God's going to do what God said He's going to do. I believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe God wants everybody in Athens, Texas to be saved. And He said it. He said it. In His word, He said it. I don't believe He's changed His mind. I believe He still meant what He said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, and the other thing that affects your vision is the Lord. If your vision's getting a little fuzzy, if doubts beginning to creep in, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to say, Lord, I want to see what You see. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get back to an altar somewhere. I want to have a prayer meeting somewhere. We need to just pray through. Hallelujah. What does that mean? You pray through negativity. You pray through doubt. You pray through fear. You pray through everything until you see clearly what the Lord wants you to see, and until you hear clearly what the Lord wants you to hear. Amen. In prayer and in worship, you feed your faith, not your fears and not your feelings, but your faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe tonight that we need to get our vision settled, and we need to have it clear, and we need to have the way before us clearly. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I didn't lose it. I held on. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a great prophet of God by the name of Elisha. God used Elisha. The Syrian king was planning to do battle against Israel. He'd draw up his battle plan, and God would whisper in Elisha's ear, and he would tell him what the king said about his battle plan. You want to know how to spoil the devil's playground and the devil's playhouse? You get in a prayer meeting and let God start telling you what He's going to do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. He can reveal. The Bible said we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Because we've got a God that let us in on it. So the king draw up his plans. He'd get to the place, set up his ambush, and Elisha would tell the king, and they'd go a different direction. They wouldn't be there. The king of Syria got mad. He started bringing in his captains, and he said, "One of you is a spy. You're going to tell the king of Israel what I've been planning." And somebody said, "It's not us. It's that prophet over in Israel. What you say here, God tells him and he tells the king." So the king said, "I'll fix that." So he gets an army together, horses and chariots, and he sends them out after one solitary prophet of God. They come to the city of Dothan. They completely surround the city. The next morning, the servant of Elisha walks out and he looks, and they're surrounded by the enemy. And he, fear grips his heart, and he cries out and he says, "Oh, Master, how shall we do?" Amen. And Elisha looks at him and he says, "Hey," he said, "they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. Anytime God steps on the scene, it's a majority. It doesn't matter how many's in the enemy camp. It doesn't matter what kind of forces may be assailed against you. It doesn't matter what has been accumulated for your defeat. When God steps on the scene, it automatically tilts all of the odds, and they all go in your favor. Hallelujah. He said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." Could I remind you of something tonight? For every devil that fell, there are two angels that didn't fall. Amen. The Bible said 1/3 of the host fell. That means 2/3 of the host remain faithful. So every time I face a devil, I got an angel on the right hand and I got an angel on the left hand. Amen. And I've got the creator of the angels looking up above. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he said, then he prayed a little prayer. He said, "Lord," he said, "open his eyes and let him see." In other words, he was saying, "Let him have the vision. Let him see what I'm seeing." Amen. And when his eyes were open, there were chariots of fire and angels round about Elijah and around the host. Hallelujah. And the heavens lit up with the power of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, folks, if God's for us, and He is. And He is. As long as we're believing the vision, as long as we're walking in the vision, as long as we're doing His will and what He says, amen, and God's with us, there is no defeat. There is no defeat. Amen. Oh, we can get all kinds of reasons. We have to have all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm telling you, all you got to have is God. He can take care of all the rest. I said he can take care of everything else if we can just have the Lord. Amen. Some of the temptations that will affect our vision, first of all, are shortcuts. You have a vision. Let me just say tonight, anytime you have a vision, the devil's going to offer you a shortcut. Amen. And we are living in a day when some folks are taking that shortcut. I believe we're living in the last days, and I believe we're living in the time of revival. I believe we're living in the time when God's people are going to rise up, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, great exploits are going to happen. We're living in that time, folks. Amen. Praise God. We're living in that time. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you tonight, some folks are already taking a shortcut. They've listened to the lie that if you'll just water down your message and not preach doctrine so strongly, not be so dogmatic in what you believe, don't preach this Holy Ghost business so strong, Amen. Compromise on baptism. Baptize folks however they want to be baptized. Let's just take a few shortcuts here. And if we'll do that, then man, we can really build a church. Amen. Quit preaching about holiness for goodness sakes. Amen. Praise God. Quit preaching about separation from the world. Amen. Just quit preaching that kind of a message. Let's take a shortcut. And if we'll take a shortcut, God can really build a church. No, God won't. He said, upon this rock, I will. I will. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, if we'll build on the foundation that's already laid, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, being the chief cornerstone. That's what we're going to build on. And he said, I will build that. Amen. Hallelujah. If we'll put our hands to the wheel, God will build this church. If we'll preach the message, God will build this church. If we'll do the work that he's called us to do, God will build his church. He'll use us. He'll use your hands. He'll use my hands. He'll use your feet. He'll use your voice. He'll use your tears. He'll use your heart. He'll use your vision. Amen. But God will do the building. Amen. The Bible says that we are a building of God that is fitly framed together. But I say fitly framed. Amen. That's important. I've seen some buildings that were not fitly framed. And they're not very strong. They don't stand the storm. Amen. Peter also said, he said, you were lively stones. I don't know, I've never done much masonry work, but I read this and I believe it's so. There are some stones that there are some stones you can scratch them and score them, and then you can hit them and they'll break off cleanly so that you can put them in place. That's a lively stone. It can be shaped. It can fit where it's supposed to fit. God can put it in there and it'll still be whole when he puts it in. But there are other stones that are not lively stones. And when you score them and you hit them, they crumble. You can't use a stone like that. Amen. God can't use stones that fall apart. Amen. Don't have anybody in mind. Amen. But God's looking for some stones, and you don't quite fit where you need to be, where you need to be. Amen. And so he says, we're going to have to cut off a little bit here. And you see, oh no, I don't want any cutting. He said, you're not going to fit until we do. And so he starts scoring and starts scratching, and he rears back and he gives it a good blow. Amen. If you're a lively stone, he can fit you where you need to go. You don't crumble. Amen. When God needs to do a little work on you, you don't crumble in his sight. Amen. And so we don't need to take any shortcuts tonight. Amen. The temptation about your vision is to give up the vision. I read about a young woman, her goal, her vision was to swim the English Channel. No female had ever done it before. She trained and trained until she was at the peak of her fitness. And she said, now is the time. So they went across to France, and she started swimming across that channel. Her mother and some other people were accompanying her in a boat, and she began to swim. And the water was cold, and her limbs became numb, but she kept on swimming. Amen. And she grew so weary, but she kept on swimming. She went through all of that. The waves began to rise up, and she would swim over the waves, and she kept on swimming. She had in her mind, I'm going to make it across. I'm going to be the first female to ever swim the English Channel. And she swam on. And then as she was getting closer to the English side of the channel, suddenly an old fog rolled in. And she couldn't see what she was doing. Amen. And she just couldn't see the shore anymore. And she kept on swimming. And she told her mother, she said, "Mom, I just can't go any further. I've gone as far as I can go." And her mom said, "No, honey, you're almost there. Just keep on swimming." She said, "But this fog, it's got me all confused. I can't see anything. I can't see the shore anymore. I've got to stop. I can't go anymore. I've gone as far as I can go." And finally, she just stopped. She quit. She gave up. They pulled her into the boat. And as they pulled her into the boat, suddenly the sun broke through. And the fog began to dissipate. And she was just a few yards from the shore. She was almost there. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't let the fog come in and take away your vision. When you can't see with your eyes, you got to see with your faith. You got to get you a promise from the Word of God, and you've got to hold on to it dearly. I can't see with my eyes. The fog has come in, but I know that I'm almost there, and I've got to press on, and I've got to keep on. I can't give up now. I've come too far. I'm almost home. Amen. Don't let the fog cause you to give up your vision. Give up your dream. Amen. Another trick that comes our way. The devil will try to tell you, "Well, God didn't really say that. The origin, just deny it. It really wasn't God anyway. It's just your own idea." Amen. There was a man by the name of Abraham. God made some promises. Years passed by. His old body began to wither. He was 80 years old. He was 90 years old. He was getting close to 100 years old. And the promise still hadn't come to pass. His physical prowess was far past the point. Amen. And his little wife, she also, now let me tell you something. She had 65. She apparently was still pretty attractive. And 75, King tried to take her away from Abraham. She had some good genes, I guess. Perma press. Amen. But the Bible said that her body was past the age and functions that are necessary for childbearing. But the Bible said about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Romans 4 verse 18. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. He laid hold on the promise of God. Amen. And the Bible said, in being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Of course, that doesn't mean dead as far as dead. It just meant his physical ability to bear children was over. He couldn't produce to bear children any longer. Now when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You see, he wasn't depending on Abraham to get it done. He wasn't depending on Sarah to get it done. He said, God made the promise, and God is able to perform the promise. God is able
of Isaac, but he produced five more boys after that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, friend, when God gives you power, you can do things you never dreamed were possible. Amen. You see, that's the difference in a vision that God gives and just eating too much pizza. When God gives a vision, God gives a dream, it puts something on the inside of you that you're not depending on your abilities. You're not depending on your talents. You're not depending on your resources. But God said it, and God is going to bring it to pass. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about a vision. Amen. Pride can get in your way. There's a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. One day he's walking around on his rooftop looking at the beautiful city of Babylon. And he said, "Oh, great Babylon, but I did all this." Amen. Pride is your enemy. Pride will destroy you. Somebody wise said one time, they said, "Praise is like perfume. It's all right if somebody sprays a little on the outside, but don't drink it in."
Amen.
Don't drink it in. Right. It's not for human consumption. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up. He got proud. He began to boast about what God had done. The Bible says that the Lord struck him with insanity. And he went out into the fields, and for 7 years he got out there like a cow in the fields, and he ate grass like a cow, and he walked around until his fingernails grew like animals' claws, and his hair matted together until it looked like feather on his head, and he walked around like a beast, and he had the heart of an animal, and he was absolutely insane. Let me tell you something. Pride's a dangerous thing. Amen. One day, God let it all live. And when he looked up and he saw God, and his heart was humbled before God, and he understood, "I didn't do this. God in heaven allowed this. God just used that measure." God turned his heart back to him. Became a human heart. His mind returned. His sanity returned. He returned to the throne. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, folks, it's pride can get in the way of your vision when you start accomplishing a few things. Don't get lifted up.
Amen.
Reminds me of the story that we just heard of the turtle that wanted to go south with the geese. He didn't want to stay up there where it was cold in the north. His friends were geese, and they were going south. And he said, "I want to go." And the geese said, "Well, you can't fly." So he started thinking. He said, "I know." He said, "My strongest feature is my jaws." He said, "When I bite on the something, I stay with it. My jaws are so strong, nothing can break me away." He said, "If you'll just put a stick between your claws, and I'll latch onto that with my strong jaws, and you fly, and I'll just stay up underneath you, and I'll go south for the winter with you." And here they went. The old geese is flying. And here's the turtle nations always to settle for almost. Almost. Amen. Just settle for a little less. If the devil can't destroy your vision, he can't stop you, he'll just sell you a little bit short. Just don't go all of the way. Just stop a little short. Don't believe all of it. Don't try to really, really do it all. Just stop a little bit short. Amen. Folks, there's a lot of power in a vision that God gives. Anybody here tonight, has the Lord ever let you in to a little vision about what He wants to do with you? Has He? Has He ever let you know what He wants to do with this church? Man, what did he say? Hold on. Hold on. Brother Christian, it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. Hold on.
Amen. Hold on. Right. Hold on. Amen.
God gave a young man, just a very, very young man, a teenager. God gave him some visions. God gave him some dreams. He began to share his dreams with his family. They laughed at him. His brothers hated him because of his. One day he was out with his brothers in the field, and they stripped him of his beautiful coat that his father had given him, a coat of honor, and they stripped that off of him, and they threw him down in a well to die. Amen. And a caravan came by, and they said, "Well, we don't want to. We might as well make a little money off of it. No sense in just killing it." So they sold him into slavery. Caravan took him on to Egypt, and he was sold into the house of a man called Potiphar. And all of the way, if you can hear me tonight, the devil was telling him, "Now what happened to your dream? Now what happened to your vision? Hey, Joseph, how's it going to happen now, son? You're not even home anymore. You're not even with your daddy anymore. You're not even with your mother anymore. You're not even with your brethren anymore. How's it going to happen now?" Amen. Got into the house of Potiphar, made up his mind that God's in control. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he said it, and it's going to come to pass. Amen. Set his attitude, set his spirit to do everything that he could. Rose to prominence in Potiphar's house. Now he's got another coat. Joseph had more trouble with his coat. One day he's in the house, Potiphar's wife is there. Day after day after day after day after day after day, she tries to seduce him. He keeps saying, "No, no, no, no." One day she's there. She reaches over and grabs a hold of his coat. In order to get rid of her, he lets go of it. He leaves it all behind. Amen. He leaves his coat behind. He lost two coats, but he never lost his dream. He was falsely accused. He was cast into the dungeon, the inner prison, for something that he had never done. But he held on to his dream.
Amen.
Amen. And then one day, hear me, when God gets ready, friend, you talk about exalting somebody. What it would have been impossible for anybody to do, God did in just one day.
Amen.
One morning, he was still in the prison. He was still the prisoner Joseph. And by the afternoon, he was wearing another coat.
Amen.
Now it was the robe of the prime minister.
Amen.
He had the golden chain about his neck. He was riding around in the king's limousine.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How's that for promotion?
Yes. Amen.
He never let go of his dream. They changed his name. How's this for a name? Zaphnath Paaneah. I like Joe better.
Amen.
But they changed his name. But he held on to his grace.
Right.
Amen. They may take your coat. They may even change your name. They may call you all kinds of names. But you hold on to your grace.
Yes, right.
You don't let go of your vision. Amen. You don't get your eye on the things going on around you. You keep your eye on the prize. Hallelujah. Amen. God has set before you. Paul was converted miraculously. You remember the story. He was on the way with murder in his heart, and God stopped him in his tracks. God knocked him off of the back of the beast of burden and blinded him with light. He saw a heavenly vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. He got a revelation. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Paul was a dyed-in-the-wool Jew that believed, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord."
Right.
He didn't believe in any other. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and Jehovah God said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest."
Amen.
Amen. And then he told Paul, he said, "I have some great things for you to do." Said, "You're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and you're going to appear before kings."
Amen.
Yes. Then when he told Ananias to go down and pray for him, he said, "You go down and you tell Saul and show him," and I love this, he said, "what great things he must suffer."
Yes, sir.
Woo. What? I prefer the word do.
Amen.
What things he's going to do, but that's not what he said. He said what things, the great things he's going to suffer.
Amen.
For my name. Did Paul do any suffering? Let's read it. Second Corinthians. I know it's one of them. 2 Corinthians 11:23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labor's more abundant." He said, "I outworked them." You know how you spell revival? W-O-R-K. Amen. You know how you spell church growth? W-O-R-K. You know how you complete your vision? W-O-R-K.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they've got more money, but they can't outwork you. They've got more talent, but they can't outwork you. Amen. Hey, are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? Praise God. We can look around us at what other folks are doing, and we can look at other churches and what other churches are doing, and we can make all kinds of excuses, or we can go to work.
That's right. Amen.
We can roll up our sleeves.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we can say, "God made us some promises, and we're going to keep, he's going to keep the promise."
Right.
Amen. If we will W-O-R-K, to make the promise come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That will cost some revising some of our priorities in what we're going to do. Well, that's good preaching, Brother Grissom.
Amen. Amen.
What great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul said, "I have worked them in stripes above measure." Now that did not mean on his sleeve. That meant on his back. In prisons more often. Woo. Listen to this. In deaths. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes," say one. Man, 5 times. That's a lot of people, folks. What is that? That's 195 stripes. That's a lot of stripes. And then he said, 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He's not talking about marijuana. talking about that people literally picked up rocks and hit him with those, left him under a pile of rocks for dead.
Right.
And I got a feeling he was.
Amen.
I said, I got a feeling that he was. I think that was one of those deaths he was talking about.
Right.
But after a little while, the Lord said, I'm not through, Paul. And all of a sudden, a hand reached up under a pile of rocks and started pushing rocks out of the land. Amen. And he gets the rocks and he sets up a little bit. And he pulls his battered, bruised body out of that pile of stones and he walks back into Lystra and he preaches again.
Yeah.
No wonder Paul had revival everywhere. You can't stop somebody. They did everything they could do, but they couldn't stop it. He said that thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. That's in the ocean, in the sea. In journeys often, in perils often. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold. In nakedness. Beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And Brother Grissom, I'll be here Sunday night if I feel all right. I'll be here Wednesday night if I'm not too tired.
Good now.
Amen. I'll come to work day if something else doesn't come up better. If the fish aren't biting. Or if somebody doesn't need a fourth person to complete the foursome for the golf tournament, I'll be there. Sister Grissom, I'll be at ladies' meeting if I'm not too tired. Or come up with some other excuse. Woo!
Oh, it's great.
Goodness gracious. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm talking about vision. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about what God wants to do for this church. But we got to get behind it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can talk about what we used to do. Thank God for what you used to do. But that's not helping right now. Brother Grissom, I used to go on visitation. What are you doing now? Brother Grissom, I used to pray every day. So much time. What are you doing now? Brother Grissom, we used to fast. What are you doing now? Brother Grissom, I used to work in Sunday school. What are you doing now? Brother Grissom, I used to witness to people. What are you doing now? Talk about revival. Amen. Where did revival go? I'll tell you where revival went. And I'll tell you where revival is. Revival's the same place. It's always been when you pursue your vision with all of your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I did it. Amen, Paul. What happened? Did you feel good all the time? How was your health, Paul? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul said, I was sick. My body was afflicted. And I asked God three times, please, take this thing away from me. And he said unto me, like to work where our strengths are. Said it before, I'll say it again. We went to Columbia. People said, "Brother Grissom, did the anointing come upon me? I just started preaching in perfect Spanish." I stumbled out of the kitchen. I had all messed up. I said some really dumb things. Said some real funny things. But you know what? Lord, you know what?
That's right.
You had it this way.
Yes.
We don't like to be weak. We don't like to be strong. We don't like to be dependent.
Right.
But all of God said to Paul, he said, "I want to keep you dependent."
Amen.
You thinking, Paul, this is you. I love what Paul, you know, Paul's not like a lot of folks that I know. He didn't use this as an excuse. You hear what I said? I said he didn't use this as an excuse. Some people that I know would pray like this: "Now God, if you really want me to be a missionary and do all this stuff you're asking me to do, if you'll heal me, then I know you want me to be a missionary." Well, if you want, if you're supposed to be a missionary, you already know it. And if you're called to be a witness, and you are, you already know it. If you're supposed to be working for God, and you are, you already know it. None of this if business, you already know it. So God, if you'll just take this away, then I'll know. And if you don't take it away, then have an excuse to be lazy. Then I'll have a reason not to do what I know you call me to do. That wasn't Paul's response. Listen to what he said. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong."
Amen.
My, if God could get a church of people like that, there's no telling what He could do.
That's right.
If God could get one, what are we going to do with the vision, folks? What are we going to do with the vision? Amen. Let me close here. I know we're a little lengthy. I'll hush. I'm here near another 30 minutes and we'll be over.
Amen.
Our vision determines our destiny. Mine on a church that way. We're always talking about the first church. We glory in the early days of the first church. My, what a church that was. On the day of Pentecost, there was 120 that received the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And before the sun went down, they added 3,000 more to their number. And in a short time, there were 5,000 more added to their number. Historians say that by the end of the apostolic age, there were 60,000 to 80,000 believers in the church in Jerusalem alone. More than 80,000 people in the church in Ephesus, in Alexandria, in Egypt. And the church was mighty. And they said by the end of the apostolic age, beginning with one Christian called Jesus Christ, but within just one generation, they had reached 12% of the world population. Within 200 years, they had converted more than half of the world's population. My, what a powerful church. My, what a powerful church. you a question tonight. I don't know what kind of God you believe you're serving tonight, but did you believe that, do we believe tonight that God would send an inferior church to the greatest challenge that the world has ever seen, when there's more than 6 billion, 7 billion people on the face of the earth? Do you believe that God would send an impotent church, that God would send an inferior church to try to cope with that generation? I do not believe that tonight. I believe that the same Jesus Christ that was with the apostolic church is with the church in the end time. And I believe that Jesus that arose and did miracles and signs in that generation will do the same again today. That the church will believe Him. William Carey was a great missionary. And he had a saying that has become popular and tremendous. He said, attempt great things for God. Have you attempted anything great for God lately? Have you attempted anything great for God lately? And then he said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Amen. Could we attempt to do things that are impossible to do within our own grasp and power? The poet said, a man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? If we can only envision and we can only dream about things that we can do, that's not great things. But what can we really believe, God? What can we really believe, God? Can we believe God for a city? Can we believe God for a city? Can we do that? Can we do that? I believe in tithing. I believe that 10% belongs to God. It's not even mine. Somebody said, well, you know, it's mine. Some people talk, well, you know, I don't know about paying the tithe because I don't know what you're going to do with it. It doesn't matter. It's not mine. Not mine. Not mine. Doesn't make any difference. It's not mine. Amen. It doesn't even belong to me. God's. The Bible, the Lord calls the tithe His. He said it's mine. I believe in that. So I don't think it's wrong to start asking God for 10%. I don't believe that would be wrong to me. I don't believe it would be wrong as an initial vision to ask God for 10% of the city. What would that be? Out of 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 people in the city of Athens, 80,000 people in Henderson County. Is that too big for God?
No.
Is that too big for God?
No.
Amen. Well, Brother Gerson, where are we going to put them on? You worry about that when you get them.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. There's already places they'll fit. And if God can bring the people, He can give us the place.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But what we got to do first is we got to renew that vision of what He's already told us He would do, and we got to go do it.
That's right.
Praise God. Don't lose your vision tonight, folks. Don't lose your vision. What kind of church do we want? Do we want a comfortable church? Or do we want a powerful? Do we want an existing church, or do we want an exciting evangelistic church? What kind of church do we want tonight? We determine that. We determine that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and your attention. Praise God. Vision. 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 What is your vision tonight? Have you lost your vision? Are you in a fog? I don't think we lose it. But I think that sometimes we get distracted. I think sometimes when the fog rolls in, the doubts arise, and opposition comes. If we're not careful, we lose our focus. And we start focusing on other things. We talk about the success of the early church, but we don't talk very much about the sufferings of the early church. We don't talk very much about the price. We don't talk very often about that all of the apostles, with the exception of John, were martyred, everyone. Some of them were crucified like Jesus. Peter was crucified upside down. James and Paul were beheaded.
Thank you.